Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Evangelist Jim Phillips of Taylor, South Carolina. The title of his message is Stewardship, God's Promises of Provision. The text is from Philippians 4, verse 19.
Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Philippians chapter number 4. If you'd open your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4, I hope you're thankful for what you're getting here, and I hope you're thankful for everything that God's done for you. Now, we've talked about ownership. We've talked about stewardship. What you love most is your God. If you love your girlfriend most, she's your God. If you love your car most, if you love your house most, whatever it is, if you love yourself most, there are a lot of people inflicted with self-love, aren't they? What you love most is your God. We talked about ownership on Monday. Yesterday we talked about stewardship. Today we're going to talk about provision. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. A good little outline of the book of Philippians is chapter 1, Christ Our Life, verse 21. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Chapter 2 in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, Christ our mind. Chapter 3, Christ our goal, that's verse 14. In chapter 4 and verse 13, Christ our strength. But we want to look at verse number 19, but my God, that's personal. I like that, don't you? God is a personal God. God doesn't deal with masses as such. God deals with individuals. But my God, that's Jim Phillips' God. You could put your name right there. This is Mary Smith's God. But my God shall supply all your greed. Everything you want, God says He's going to provide. No, He doesn't say greed, does He? He says need. You know, if God gave us everything we wanted, we wouldn't be worth a plug nickel, wouldn't we? Thank God for the many prayers that we pray many times, selfish prayers that God doesn't answer. But my God shall supply all your need. Now, I want you to underline those three words, all your need. And I want you to circle the word all your need. He said He'd be with us to the end of the age. He said, I will never leave you. He said, I will never forsake you. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Now, today we're going to talk about God's promises of provision. And He says, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, Paul said, you supplied my need according to your poverty. You are poor folks. And out of your poverty, you provided my need. But God, out of His riches, will provide your needs. Let's bow our heads and pray, and we'll have the message. Father, we thank You that You're so good. What a great provider. Lord, if You would provide salvation for us, certainly You would provide everything else. Speak to our hearts, dear Lord, through the message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want you to turn. Now, this sermon is going to be different. The last 2 days, really, I've only got to the first point of the sermon. But this, they say the ideal sermon is 3 points. You know, you have a scripture and you have an illustration and so on. This sermon is going to be different. I'm going to give you 6 different passages of Scripture and make a comment on those and give you an illustration about those. So turn to the first one, if you would, please, in Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. Now, you know that every Scripture has a main interpretation to it. It might have many applications to it. And so some of these scriptures, we'll look at the main truth in it, and some of them we'll look at the application of it. Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, honor the Lord with thy substance. Now, what does that word substance mean? Well, it means stuff, doesn't it? I like that word stuff. I mean, Saul hid himself among the stuff, the Bible says. It means honor God with whatever you have, whether it's big or little. And by the way, you know, God doesn't measure our giving by the amount that we give. It's the amount of sacrifice that's involved. You know, the poor widow, she gave out of her penury. She gave out of her living. She gave all she had. Jesus said she gave more than the rich people gave. And so God doesn't measure how much we give just by the amount we give, but the amount of sacrifice. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, you'll notice in these verses over and over again how the word all appears. These verses we've had for the last 3 days, over and over, we meet up with the word all. The first fruits of all thine increase. God is first. He's the best. He ought to be served with the best and the first. Somebody said, well, I gave my last dollar to God. God doesn't want your last dollar. He wants your first dollar. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, all this stuff, will be added unto you. Now, in these passages, notice what we have first. We have a command, and then we have a promise. Well, here's the command, honor the Lord with thy substance. Here's the command, you honor God with the first fruits of everything you have. Now, here's the promise, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. These two men were on an island. They were marooned on an island. And one of them lost it. I mean, they were just there by themselves. They didn't have anything to eat, and they didn't have anything to drink. And one of them lost it. And he said, we don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything to drink. We're going to die. We're going to die. Other guy said, he said, I make $100,000 a week. The other guy said, oh, we're going to die. What are we going to do? We don't have anything to eat. We're going to die. The other guy said, he said, I make $100,000 a week. The other guy said, are you nuts or something? He said, we don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything to drink. We're going to die. The other guy said, said, you're a little slow, aren't you? He said, look, I make $100,000 a week, and I tithe. He said, my pastor's going to find me. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what, if I was pastor and I had a man made $100,000 a week and he was lost, I guarantee you I would find him. You know what I need more than anything else in life? I need the blessing of God. If I don't have the blessing of God, I don't have anything. I mean, I might have all the material things in this life, but if God Almighty's blessings are not on my life, I have nothing. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. You know what I found out by studying people all these years? I found out that they love the Bible. How many of you love the Bible? Let's see, you love the Bible? Sure you love the Bible. People study the Bible, they meditate on the Bible, they memorize the Bible. By the way, Bible memorization is the secret weapon for the Christian. Now, at my old age, I only memorize one new verse of Scripture a week, but I've never stopped. When I was younger, I used to memorize chapters. I used to memorize books of the Bible, but I'm still memorizing. And boy, you just never know when God will bring that Scripture out of your heart, you know, when you need it. And men love the Bible, and they study it, and they memorize it, and all of that. I wish they would believe it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we believe Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. We believe John 3:16, don't we? For God so loved the world that He gave. Oh, yes, God's the greatest giver of all. By the way, that little word so in that verse is the largest word in the Bible. For God so, that means to such a great degree. God to such a great degree loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We believe that. We believe Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But boy, wouldn't it be wonderful if we believed all of these wonderful promises God's given us. I was telling Dr. Bob the other day about Brother Roloff and his girls down in the Rebecca home in Corpus Christi. Brother Roloff would say, all right, now tomorrow we're going to memorize the 34 Psalm. Everybody's got to learn the 34 Psalm. And the girls say, oh, Brother Roloff, it's too hard. We can't do it. He said, if I gave you $1,000, could you do it? Oh, yeah, Brother Roloff, if you gave us $1,000, we could do it. You know, we can do anything we're motivated to do. Has anyone told you, students, about the fellow that fell in the grave? This man was walking through a cemetery at night and fell in a grave. Do you know that story? He fell in a grave and he couldn't get out. You know, he grabbed hold of the roots and the roots kept breaking. He made handholds in the side of the grave and they kept crumbling. And so he said, well, man, I'll just sit down here in the corner of the grave here, and in the morning somebody will walk by and they'll get me out. And about midnight, an old drunk walked through the cemetery and he fell in. And he grabbed hold of the roots and made handholds and he couldn't get out. And he didn't see the fellow in the corner, and the fellow in the corner said, you can't get out of here. But he did. Dr. Vick used to say, can a rabbit climb a tree? Well, it depends on how bad he needs to climb the tree. We can do most anything we ought to do if we're rightly motivated to do it. All right, second passage of Scripture. That's number one. Here is number two. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. You know, the Bible is filled with a paradox. A paradox is a seeming contradiction. And there's seemingly a contradiction in this passage of Scripture. Proverbs 11:24, there is that scattereth and yet increases. Now, we've been talking about giving and giving abundantly and giving richly and giving to everything. What does Ecclesiastes 11 say? Give to seven and eight. I mean, if seven needs come along, you give to that. If eight needs come along, he said, cast your bread upon the waters, it'll come back to you after many days. But, you know, Am I going to give myself poor? I mean, if I give to everything that comes along, I mentioned I give my tithe, my offering, my faith promise offering. I give money to the school. Yeah, I give money to a lot of things. My wife and I just sent some money to Meals on Wheels. We gave some money to Miracle Hill not long ago. And, man, we're just always giving. You say, boy, you're going to give yourself poor. That's the way it would seem, wouldn't it? And this verse says, there is that scattereth, but the more you give away, the more you have. How in the world could that be? How could it possibly be that you give away, and after you've given away, you have more? Now, you don't give to get. The only reason you'd ever want to give to get was so you'd be able to have something to give to someone else. That's not the motivation for giving. The motivation for giving is love, of course. There is that scattereth, there's the command. And yet increases, there's the promise. And there is it withholdeth more than is meet or proper. Now there's the warning and here's the judgment. It tendeth to poverty. Look at verse number 25. Look down at your Bibles. The liberal soul. Now, liberal in the Bible doesn't mean left wing like in politics. It means generous. The generous soul shall be made fat. I'm the living proof of it. I'm the fastest growing preacher in South Carolina. The liberal soul shall be made fat. There's the command, the liberal soul, be generous. Here's the promise, he'll be made fat, he'll be blessed. And then here's another command, he that watereth, God says, shall be watered also himself. Now, we love, we memorize, we study, we meditate. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if we believed God's Word? Spurgeon said, C.H. Spurgeon, the great English preacher, said, I take my little watering can and I go to water the plants and the flowers. And he says, my water runs out. And he said, a stream above my head is discovered and a flood of water just covers me. I have some friends named Steve and Lynn Olmstead that were missionaries to the Yanomami Indians in Venezuela. Very remote part of Venezuela. In the northern part, in the Amazon Basin. They lived on this river. It took 2 weeks upriver in a canoe or a boat to get to the next civilized place. I mean, you talk about being in the boonies. I mean, they were in the boonies. And eventually, they made a little rough airstrip, and about once a month, a little airplane, a light plane, would come in and bring them supplies. Well, one day, Steve and Lynn were in their little hut, and literally, I mean a hut. I mean, they were in a very, very primitive place. I mean, they would wash in the river there where the piranha were and everything. And one day while they were in their hut, one of the native men came into the hut and had a little baby in his arms. And he said, Pastor, he said, my wife has just given birth to this baby and said, we're not able to keep this baby. Said, we have too many children and we have come to give the baby to you. And Brother Steve said, well, I can't take your baby. He said, we've got these three little children right here ourselves. We don't need any more children. He said, Pastor, my wife and I, missionary, we've come to give this baby to you. And Steve said, I'm sorry, we cannot take your baby. The man said, all right, we're going to take the baby to the jungle. Now, what that meant was, they would simply take the baby and abandon it in the jungle, let the wild beast devour it, just let it die. Brother Steve said, you can't do that. You can't take your little baby. The native Yanomami man said, we have too many children. We cannot take care of any more children. We're going to take the baby to the jungle and leave it. He turned his back and he started walking out. And Brother Steve said, please give us the baby. This is a true story. This is not a preacher's story. Did any of you understand that? This is a true story. They have this little baby, Steve and Lynn, their little three children. They have nothing to feed the baby. They don't have a clue how to take care of this baby. All of a sudden, they hear the sound of a helicopter. They go outside. Everybody from the little huts come out in the middle. And this helicopter lands, turns the rotor off, and the pilot got out, and Steve said, what in the world are you doing out here in this jungle? He said, there are never any helicopters out in this jungle. The man said, we've been out here surveying, and said, we've got some groceries left over, and wondered if you could use any of these, and they brought some boxes of grocery off of the helicopter, and in tops of all the boxes, there were boxes and boxes of powdered milk. Is God a great provider or what? What a great provider God is. You will never, ever be able to outgive God. We saw this little boy, they named him Tyler, they called him TJ. We saw him when he was about 2 years old. You know, the Indians, they're black, straight hair, prettiest little boy you ever saw in your life. TJ's probably maybe 13 or 14 now. I preached for Steve up in Michigan not too long ago, saw TJ. Saw him, first time I'd seen him in many years. He knows the story of how God spared his life. He knows that God has something special for him in his life. We went over to Battle Creek, over to Cereal City. Anybody here ever been to Cereal City in Battle Creek? Some of you from Michigan been over there? Yeah, okay. Went over there, and it's about how they manufacture cereal and all kind of nice things there. They can take your picture and put it on the front of a Kellogg's box. So Tyler and I had my arm around Tyler. We had my picture made with him, put it on the top of a cornflakes box. So I keep it at home at my house. People come in. They see my picture on the front of a cornflakes box, and they say, what in the world are you doing with your picture on the front of a cornflakes box? I said, man, you can buy them anywhere you want to. Just go down to the store and get them. Turn, if you would, please, to... Now, you know the name of this last book of the Old Testament, don't you? What's the name of it? Malachi. That's right. Everybody turn to Malachi. That's the Italian, Malachi, chapter 3, in verse number 8. Now, here's the same thing. We have a command and we have a promise. I know you're saying, well, preacher, we're in the Old Testament. What about, well, just hang on. We'll get there, okay? Chapter 3 and verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, where did we rob thee? In tithe. Anytime you get first 10% of everything you get, you ought to give to God. You get money for Christmas. You get a bonus. You get an inheritance. It doesn't matter what it is. And by the way, if you'd get an inheritance of $107,952.32, good night. Don't write it for $10,700. Just make it $11,000 or $12,000. Don't ever write God pennies. Don't ever cut God short. Always give God the benefit of a doubt. There was a preacher in Indianapolis, had a large church, and one day somebody broke into their church office and blew the safe up and stole the Sunday offering. I don't know what the Sunday offering was, probably $100,000 to $150,000. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Can you imagine people being so bad that they would go into a church and steal the church offering, steal God's money? That's a terrible thing, isn't it? You know what the pastor did? He brought the safe back in the church with the blown door off, and he put a sign on the side of the safe and said this, "Will a man rob God?" When you don't give to God what God expects you to give, it's the same thing. As you know, it's robbing God. Wherein have we robbed thee in tithes and offerings? You're cursed with a curse. There's the judgment. You've robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes. Now, somebody said, should you pay tithes or should you bring a tithe? Or should you give a tithe? Well, when you go to church, you take it with you, of course. Now, you folks are ignorant. You don't know Hebrew and Greek and all of those things yet. Most of you don't. It says, actually in the Hebrew there, it says, bring y'all the tithes into the storehouse. And of course, we believe that's typical of the church. This is symbolical language. It says, bring y'all the tithes into the storehouse. Unless you're going on vacation, then bring it in ahead of time. Or if you're going to be gone, send it ahead of time. Then God says that there may be meat in my house. God is to be served first because He is the first and the best. And prove me now. Do we tell people when we give the invitation for folks to get saved, do we say, now folks, you can't come right now. I know we're singing just as I am. You can't come right now. You got to get rid of this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin. And finally, when you get rid of all your sins, then you can be saved. No, sir. You come just as you are in all of your sins. Old Sam Jones was saved when he was drunk, became that mighty preacher of the South. Now, how do we start proving God? I mean, God says, prove me right now. I have a friend that is a missionary in Ecuador. And he had a young preacher. And this young preacher wanted to go out, and I'll have to make this story short because I've got a lot of other things I want to tell you. He wanted to go out in the bush and pastor this church. And he said, well, you can go, but you've got to tithe first. You can't go out there and tell people to tithe and give offerings and be generous to God if you don't yourself. And the man said, my wife and I are almost starving now. I said, we cannot give anything. The pastor said, well, you can't go out and pastor that church then. The young man said, well, I'll go home and talk to my wife about it. He did, and he came back, and he said, missionary, he said, my wife said, we'll starve to death if we tithe. We don't have anything now. And the missionary said, well, I'm sorry, you can't go out and pastor the church out in the bush. The young man said, all right, we'll just go out and we'll starve. So they went out there. He preached the first Sunday. They gave maybe an ear of corn or whatever it was that they had, or part of whatever they had. And that afternoon, an old rickety Ecuadorian bus came by, you know, with people hanging all off of it, got in front of his house, and a pig fell off the bus. Now, the young preacher went out, caught the pig. Oh, hey, stop the bus! Stop the bus! A pig fell. And the bus just went right on. What you have to understand in that economy, a pig is worth a half a year's salary. God says, young man, you want to know whether I can take care of your needs or not? God said, I'm going to supply half your needs of 1 year. Now, it may not be. You know, when we start being obedient to God in our giving, the first thing God might do is try us. God never stops trying us. And now turn to the next scripture. We really got to hurry now. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 38. This is a familiar passage. All of you have heard it. Give, and it might be given unto you. Right? No. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, shall men, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. You know, I've never had an angel come to my house and drop any money down. But every time I've had a need, God's used someone to supply my need. Shall men give into your bosom? For with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured you again. In short, however you give, that's how God will give you. If you're generous, God will be generous with you. If you're loving, God will cause folks to love you. If you're merciful, and so on and so forth. When I was a student in school here back in 1843, my wife and I had been married just a few months, and one Sunday morning we didn't have anything to eat. We had nothing to eat. We didn't even have salt to put on pepper. And some folks, we didn't have a car. Some folks came by, picked us up, took us to church. We didn't say anything to them. We didn't have anything to eat. We got home. We had nothing to eat for breakfast. We had, I mean, nothing to eat for dinner. We just slept that afternoon. Sunday afternoon nap, sacred anyhow. The Bible says no nap, no snap. So we just kind of slept that afternoon, you know. And they came and picked us up for church that Sunday night. And got home that night, and there was a car at the house, and it was my boss, the man I worked for, V.C. Allen from Allen Music Company. And I said, "Mr. Allen, what's the problem? What's wrong?" He said, "This afternoon some folks came from your church in Columbia, 100 miles down the road, and said, I want you to look on your front porch. And there were sacks and sacks and sacks of groceries. My wife and I cleared those groceries out. We got on our knees and said, thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord, for being such a great, wonderful provider." And He certainly is. Who knew about that? Only the Lord. When it came time for me to graduate in May of 1957, I didn't have the money to pay my school account off here. And I'd been praying, and I had to work my way through school. Nobody helped me. I'd allow myself 25 cents a meal. I had one shirt, one old white sucker shirt that I washed every night and hung it up. The boys in the room wouldn't even let me keep my shoes in the room that smelled so bad. Only had one pair of shoes. Came time to graduate. A few days, I went before it's time for me to graduate. I opened my box up, and there was a note in there: "Your account has been paid in full." What a great provider God is. Well, our time is gone. Let's bow our heads and pray. I wanted to show you 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, the great teaching in the Word of God on giving in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Father, You are a great provider. You provided for our salvation, He that spared not His own Son. Lord, if You would give Your own Son to save our miserable souls, how could it even be imagined that You would not provide everything else? Now bless us as we go our several ways.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Evangelist Jim Phillips of Taylor, South Carolina. For a cassette tape containing all three messages on stewardship, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.